YLL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The European Union's annual rate of inflation across the bloc's members fell to its lowest level in 5 years. The EU's statistics agency today confirmed that across the 18 countries that share the euro, consumer prices rose by just 0.3% in the 12 months to September, the lowest annual rate of inflation since October of 2009, and down from 0.4% in August. Private exporters this morning reported to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2014-15 marketing year. CME Group says that it will cut 150 jobs, or about 5% of its workforce, with most of the cuts in technology jobs. The remainder of the cuts are in corporate and administrative jobs. The majority of the cuts will be at headquarters in Chicago. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,949. It's down 58 points. The NASDAQ, 3737. Now 3730, down 21. And the S&P 500, 1839, down 7.75 points. Our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference is November the 24th at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus in Normal, Illinois. We've got the latest on farmland values, and we'll spend time looking at crop insurance under the new farm bill, as well as the pending ARC-PLC decision. And we've got marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The cost is just $25 and includes lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Get your tickets now at 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
This morning's early morning forecast for the U.S. Midwest is quite dry, and there's no reason for us to be concerned about any kind of significant harvest delays coming up anytime soon. The majority of the Midwest will see mostly dry conditions. There will be a couple of little disturbances that will move across the Great Lakes region that will likely generate enough precipitation to cause a little bit of disruption to field work over the next 2 or 3 days. But after that, it should be relatively dry there, just like everywhere else. The biggest change in the U.S. Midwest forecast today versus that of yesterday is less rain for the lower parts of the region on Monday. That removal of precipitation was a byproduct of two things. Number one, the precipitation was overdone anyway, as far as I'm concerned. And second of all, it looks as though the precipitation is being somewhat suppressed by a tropical disturbance that will be in the Gulf of Mexico. That disturbance in the Gulf of Mexico will be closely monitored all next week because of where it may end up going and how well it developed it becomes. Could end up producing some substantial rains for some place in the southeastern part of the U.S. Florida seems to be my favored pick at the moment, but we'll see what happens. The system is not going to move very far very fast, and we'll spend much of the week next week hanging out in the western parts of the Gulf of Mexico away from land. We will look for the response to that event in the Midwest, the Delta in the southeast, as a mostly dry weather pattern. All the moisture will be locked up in the Gulf of Mexico and will not be allowed to work its way northward. That should end up leaving most of the U.S. crop areas without meaningful precipitation. The same is true for a big part of the U.S. plains as well. The temperature forecast for the U.S. is expected to be seasonable for the majority of the region. It will be warmer than usual in the plains, and it looks like relatively seasonable in the southeastern part of the country as well. The afternoon temperatures over this next several-day period will likely run mostly in the 60s across a big part of the U.S. Midwest. Now, we will probably see at least a little bit of a cool-off occurring for a brief period of time as a little reinforcing shot of cool air comes along for Friday and Saturday and into Sunday. We'll see some parts of the northern Midwest cooling down to some 50 and lower 60-degree highs, maybe even some upper 40s near the Canada border. But the lower parts of the Midwest will probably not cool any further than upper 50s and lower 60s during the coolest period of time. Next week, a ridge of high pressure will move eastward from the far western parts of North America. It should help to heat things up across the Great Plains and into the western Corn Belt at least, and we'll see a lot of temperatures in the 60s and 70s as we go through the middle and perhaps the latter part of next week as well. Low temperatures at night will not be threatening by any means. We're not even going to see much in the way of freezing temperatures outside of the northwestern parts of the Corn Belt. In South America, there's still a considerable amount of interest in what's going on in Brazil with the hot and dry weather. Yesterday, the afternoon temperatures in northern Brazil's crop country reached up to 108 degrees, and the forecast is going to offer temperatures even hotter for the next 2 or 3 days. The dry and hot conditions will prevail through the weekend, and we'll likely see some relief next week in the form of scattered showers and some lower temperatures. The amount of relief, though, is not expected to be very significant, and follow-up rain will be imperative in order to set the stage in the right direction for supporting crops as we move forward into the early part of November. The rain prospects might improve again in the last days of October, but it looks like late next week into the following weekend, there'll be another bout of hot, dry weather there. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter wheat, December, 5.95 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter, now up 3 even December. The soft variety, 5.07, up 1. December corn, 3.50 and a half, up 3. March, 3.63 and a half, up 3. May, 3.72 and a quarter, up 2 and 3 quarters. July, 3.79 and a half, up 2 and 3 quarters. November soybeans, 9.60 and a quarter, up 7 and 3 quarters. January, 9.68 and a quarter, up 7 and a half. July, 9.92 and a quarter, up 6 and 3 quarters. December soybean meal, 3.33.60, up 7.30. December soybean oil, 31.94, down 4. October live cattle, 164.02 and a half, up 107 and a half. October feeders, 238.50, up 110. And December lean hogs, 91.50, down 42 and one half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, the meltdown that we saw yesterday in outside markets, the dollar, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, may have bled over a little bit, I kind of felt, into livestock, but hasn't impacted the grains much. Will that continue to be the case?
I think it's all about money flow. I really think the livestock market's impacted by the real worry that people will not be going out to eat because of this Ebola scare. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge issue. And I think it was a big factor in the sell-off in the Dow as well yesterday.
So are we beginning to carve out something sideways in either corn or soybeans, do you think?
I think we are in kind of a sideways market. December corn has a lot of resistance around this 360 area and some awfully good support at 320, but some modest support showing up in the 340, 345 range. On the November bean, a lot of resistance at that 975 area. A lot of pretty good support showing up around 940, 920 is more support as well.
How do you look at demand in the marketplace at the moment?
We're seeing some commercial buying in the beans, and I think part of that is that the Midwest is still pretty soggy to pick beans, and the meal demand is exceedingly strong. So we've got good crush margins there, good meal demand. Commercials are buying the beans. Not so much in the corn. I think there's still a real wait-and-see attitude. There's some quick ship bids, kind of hard for us to think, that are premium bids in corn in the very northwest corn belt.
Is it possible that we're not seeing all the demand in corn and like there's some under-the-radar corn going out?
There's probably some under-the-radar demand showing up. And I think these sales to unknown destinations could be pretty routine buyers, and I'm thinking Mexico or Japan, maybe the Philippines, somebody like that. But certainly we're starting to see a little bit of support coming into the corn market.
And a little bit about livestock before we let you go.
Surprising strength this morning in the live cattle and the feeders, although the feeders bounced yesterday and then fell apart. I think the hog market's going to be the one to watch. It looks to me like we've got the numbers. We're building weight. We gapped down on December futures as it came on the lead month, gapped down through the 40-day moving average. I think that's going to be a little bit difficult to see that market come back very easily.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. You are listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.